Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and I just want to take a moment and say thank you for all the emails and messages that we get for the broadcasts here and for the prayer concerns that come to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Just last week, we had a request for someone looking for a church in their area out in the West Valley, and if you don't have a home church, email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship, and we'll help you find a church. Of course, we'd love to have you come and join us at the Seed Christian Fellowship on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and join us. We've been doing a series on the Apostles' Creed, and over the last few weeks, we've been looking at this, and we have learned that the early church used this creed as a teaching tool in a baptismal confession. We have learned that the creed is Trinitarian in form. It teaches us about God, the creator and sustainer of all things. It teaches us about Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son who came to earth, suffered, and died, then ascended to heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God the Father to intercede for us. There have been some deep theological concepts about Jesus that were wrapped up in just a few lines: incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and judgment, let alone the second coming. I'm going to read the Apostles' Creed. Maybe you know it by heart. Maybe you've never even heard it before. If you know it, I'm going to ask you to join with me in the reading of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Just a quick note on line 6. It says, he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Okay, to sit at someone's or anyone's right hand used to be an honor. It was a sign that the person on the host's right hand had special honors. God the Father has bestowed the highest place of honor upon Jesus, who sits at God's right hand. Today we're going to look at line 7. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. Many of you have asked me or sent notes to me about this very question. What does it mean to say quick? And I'm happy to report that it's just another word that was used for living. The quick and the dead means the living and the dead. And in the creed, we declare that in time, Jesus will judge us all, the living and the dead. We know that Jesus is full of grace and truth, and that Jesus is light, and in him is no darkness. I believe this means that we can trust that we will be judged with grace and truth. To me, it is a joy to trust that there is someone who knows us and understands us completely, who will judge us with grace and truth. Last week, if you listened to the program, we looked at why the ascension is important. And if you haven't listened to all the programs, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship and pick up the programs, or send me a note and we can send them to you. But last week we looked at the ascension and why it's important. We learned that the ascension was important for two reasons. First, the ascension is important because it tells us that Jesus' earthly ministry was completed, that Jesus has gone to be with God the Father to begin his heavenly ministry of interceding for us. What a powerful thought. Jesus ascended into heaven and now prays for you and me. He prays for us. Listen to what Webster's definition for intercede is. Webster defines interceding this way: to intervene between parties with a view to reconcile differences. Wow. Can you imagine that Jesus is interceding between God and you? He's trying to reconcile those differences. Second, the ascension is important because Jesus' earthly ministry has now been completed and it's delegated, or his ministry is given to you and I. When Jesus ascended into heaven, his message and ministry was delegated to us. We are called to do what Jesus did. Wow. Now, I think that's pretty powerful. How does that make you feel? How do we do the same thing that Jesus did? Let us turn to the Gospel of John and see what Jesus told his disciples. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and minds. Empower us with your holy boldness. Inspire us to go out and sow seeds of faith. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles and you're listening to the program, I'm going to ask you to turn to John 14, verses 15 to 27. And I would say this section would be like Leonardo's da Vinci's painting of the Last Supper. John is supposedly the one to Jesus' right hand. Just something to mull around your mind as we read this passage. John 14, 15 to 27. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourselves to us and not to the world?" Verse 23, Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And he who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. And all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." In Genesis 1, verse 2, we read that the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And in Luke 1:35, we read, "The angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you.'" And the angel's talking to Mary about the birth of Jesus. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The Spirit also came to Samson, and he demonstrated miraculous strength. The Spirit enabled Joseph to interpret puzzling dreams, to withstand the hostility of his brothers and Potiphar's wife's sensual temptations while in Egypt. The prophets declared the Spirit as righteousness and felt the Spirit within them. The Spirit enabled David to conquer one crisis after another. The Spirit of God devastated Saul of Tarsus as he went to persecute the believers, and later cleansed and commissioned Paul to proclaim the gospel. Jesus was sustained by the Holy Spirit in the wilderness. When Jesus came to his hometown of Nazareth, he declared, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach,' which is Isaiah 61 and also Luke 2. The language of the Apostles' Creed reminds us that the work of the Holy Spirit is not finished. The same Spirit that was brooding over creation and Mary is also brooding over you and me. Let me say that again. The same Holy Spirit that was brooding over creation and brooding over Mary to create in her the Son of God is brooding over you and me. The same Spirit that filled Samson and Joseph and David and Rahab and Ruth and Boaz and all the men and women of the Bible is the same Spirit that fills us today. The Spirit of God is currently brooding over you and me and wants to create in us a community formed in the image of Jesus. Stop and think about that for a minute. The God who created the universe and all the galaxies wants to create in you and me his very own image. In verse 15, Paul had just spoken to the disciples' love for him, and here reveals his love for them. Jesus wants them to be like him. He will ask the Father, is what it says. He will ask the Father. There's where he's interceding for us. He will ask the Father. What a powerful word picture of Jesus as the intercessory, the one who stands in our place and speaks to the Father on our behalf. Could this be why the ascension is necessary? So that Jesus can mediate for us? Jesus can reconcile our differences? The Greek word for comforter, or advocate, or helper, depending on your translation, is parakletos. Parakletos. It is a Greek word that has many meanings, and it's very difficult to translate into English. It cannot be exhausted by any one word in our language. Literally, it means one who is called alongside to help, and has the connotation of a helper, comforter, exhorter, intercessor, encourager, and advocate. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're talking about the Apostles' Creed, and we're looking at the line, I believe in the Holy Spirit. And the Greek word for Holy Spirit, parakletos, comforter, advocate, the parakletos is someone who is called to help. The Greeks use this word in a wide variety of ways. The parakletos might be a person called to give witness in a court of law in someone's favor. The parakletos might be an advocate called in to plead the case of someone under a charge for a serious penalty. The parakletos might be an expert called in to give advice in a difficult situation. The parakletos might be called in to encourage a person or a group of people in their work or school or family or military world. For the Greek culture, the parakletos was always called in for one reason, to help. And Jesus says, I'll ask the Father to give you allos parakletos. Jesus is asking that the Father would give you help, give me help. Stop and think about what Jesus is saying for a minute. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another parakletos. Jesus is saying that the Father will send someone, not something, but someone who is called to come alongside, someone who is called to comfort you, to help you, to encourage you, to give you advice, plead your cause, protect you, convict you, and even strengthen you. I'm going to stop for just a minute. I know someone's listening right now that needs some comfort. Maybe there's someone that needs some encouragement. I want to give you encouragement that the Holy Spirit will never leave you or forsake you. I want you to have comfort even if you're grieving the loss of a loved one, or the loss of a job or a relationship. The Holy Spirit will be with you. Turn to God and let him comfort you. Maybe the Holy Spirit is convicting you right now and saying, hey, you better stop walking the way you're walking. Maybe it's time to turn around. That's called repentance. And walk in the light as he is in the light. Many times this word parakletos is translated comforter. And the word comforter comes from the Latin word fortis. I'm giving you a lot of words. I love words, okay? But so I give you the Greek word parakletos, and it translates into comforter, but the Latin word is fortis, F-O-R-T-I-S, fortis, which means brave. I can guarantee you someone right now needs to be brave. Maybe you've been given a diagnosis. In fact, I'd ask you right now to pray for my really, really good friend, Dr. Herman, and his wife, Barbara. He's been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. In fact, Dr. Herman is the one who sponsors these programs, the one you're listening to right now. And he's battling for his life with pancreatic cancer. And I know he's brave. And he would want you to be brave. The comforter is someone who will encourage you and help you to be brave. So what? I always end with a so what. I want to share a real-life example of how God uses the Holy Spirit in our lives today. About a year ago, my wife, Jack, and I were doing our testing for our second round of chelation. We have lead poisoning. We were to test and then wait a month for the results and then go see our doctor for the results. And I was super positive. I just knew we were going to get good numbers. And on the other hand, I remember the day that Jack looked at me. It was in September of last year before we saw our doctor and had no idea what our numbers would be. And she said, "Dave, you're going to think this is weird, but I've been hearing something kind of strange. I think it's the Holy Spirit because it keeps coming to my heart and mind. I know that my word for this year is flourish, but I'm supposed to pick a new word for 2019 right now." We do at our church every year, we pick out a word that the Holy Spirit gives us to work on in our life. And so she said in September of 2018, God, the Holy Spirit was giving her a new word for 2019, which we normally do in January. And she said, and she looked at me and tears were welling in her eyes. And she says, the word that the Holy Spirit is giving me is brave. She even called her friend and asked her to make a bracelet that spelled brave. And she started wearing that bracelet in September of 2018. Fast forward to our doctor visit in October, and our doctor shared with us that we both needed another round of chelation. Chelation is like, it's very painful. It's similar to chemo. My wife was a number 8, and she should be 2, and I was a 6 out of our numbers, and I should be a 2, and the doctor explained why we couldn't stay where we were, and that she'd give us until the new year to do our third round of chelation. And I have to tell you, I was rather bummed. I think I was really bummed. And as we drove home, I decided that the holidays were too close and that I'd do my chelation during the Lenten season and Easter or in the spring of 2019. My wife, Jack, is usually pretty hands-off when it comes to medicine and the doctor and chelation, and I fully expected her to say that she'd wait to join me in the spring. And imagine my surprise when she showed me her brave bracelet and said, "I'm going to call the doctor and start as soon as I can." She had it all figured out. She'd be done by the second week in January, and we'd start our trip to see her parents in Florida. Brave. Brave, Dave. I'm telling you, flourish is over, and my new word is already here. Brave. Listen, what I want to tell you is that the Parakletos was stepping in to encourage my wife, Jack. Jack is short for Jacqueline, to encourage Jack to be brave. I'm going to stop right there. I think the Holy Spirit is stepping into someone's life right now. And I know you need to hear the words, be brave. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know really what you're going through, but God knows where you are. God knows what you're facing. God knows what you need. And I want you to hear the words, be brave. I don't know who needs to receive that, but I know someone listening needs to hear this word, be brave today. Be brave. This is what I want you to hear. Sometimes our best laid ideas, our best laid plans and dreams get put on the back burner. And the Holy Spirit gives us an alternate plan with the wisdom that we needed all along. Your so what for this week is to find some quiet time. I'm going to ask you to slow down for a moment during the week and lay all your plans for this week, for the month, for the new school year, for work, for your family, for vacations, for whatever it is that you have plans for. And write them down and lay them out on a piece of paper and put your hands on them and pray. Maybe you're going to get a thumbs up and go for it. Maybe you're going to get a change of plans. Brave is not a word that usually comes to my wife's mind. If you knew my wife, you wouldn't say she's brave. At least I didn't use it to describe my wife. My wife decided that the Holy Spirit had an acrostic, an acronym for brave. Be radiant and valiant every day. There's your acrostic for brave. Be radiant and valiant every day. When Jack and I drove across the USA to visit her parents this past year, Jack was really sick. I seriously think she slept the entire way, 4 days across. She can't fly. We can't fly because of the chelation. I think she slept the 4 days that I drove her across the United States, except for the frequent request to stop at a rest area. After we got back in the car, I'd ask her how she was. With her eyes already half closed, she'd point to her bracelet and not say a word and said, brave. Jesus has told us the glorious truth. He went away in order that the Advocate, the Parakletos, the Comforter, the Helper, the one who makes you brave, will come alongside each one of us and will teach us everything we need to know. Share with me again the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate and was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We're going to close in a prayer, but again, I would ask that you would, I'm going to ask the prayer warriors out there listening to pray for my dear, dear friend, Dr. Herman, and his wife, Barbara. Herman is battling pancreatic cancer, and he's been a wonderful friend for 20 years. He is the sponsor of this radio program, The Seed of Faith. And if you'd like to help sponsor The Seed of Faith, you can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com and make a donation to help this ministry. But really what I want is your prayers. I want you to pray for Dr. Herman. I want you to take a moment, prayer warriors out there, to pray for those that need to be brave. Let us pray right now. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. You promised to give us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the identical twin to Jesus, the Comforter, the Advocate, the one who comes alongside to help us be brave. And I pray right now for those that are afraid, those that are wounded, those that are broken, and those that need to know that God is with them, that God will never leave them or forsake them. Lord, be with those that need to be brave. Be radiant and valiant every day. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to know that God loves you. God loves you with an unfailing love, an unconditional love, with a lavish love, and His grace is outrageous. Come to Him and let His love help you be brave. God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.